start your day today with Ryan Brockfield.
Morning. As we start reading Parshas Bo, we start reading about the Geula, how Klal Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim. Now let's start with a very simple question. When did the Yidden go out of Mitzrayim? Was it at night, in the morning, afternoon? So from Rashi we seem to have a very clear indication. Rashi in Parshas Hazinu, the Pusik says, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe be'etzem hayoyim hazeh le'imoy. So Rashi explains, B'shloyshe mekoyimus ne'emar be'etzem hayoyim hazeh. Three instances we find an expression of be'etzem hayoyim hazeh. The first one is ne'emar b'noyach. Noach was building his tevah for 120 years. He was trying to convince the people to do tshuva. In the middle of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to go in the Tevel. They said, the day will come when he'll go to the Tevel. We'll prevent him to do so. We won't let him go to the Tevel. We'll bash down, we'll break the Tevel. I'll wait, I won't tell him to go in the middle of the night when no one sees. I'll wait till the middle of the day, when everyone is there, everyone's standing there. If someone has the strength of preventing him to come inside, let's see. And of course, no one did so. The second time was B'Mitzrayim. B'Mitzrayim ne'emar be'etzem hayoyim hazeh hoitzi Hashem. If you show you Mitzrayim oimrim mekach vekach, im unu magishim bohem, ein unu menichim oisum lutzis. When the day will arrive, when the Eden will go out of Mitzrayim, we'll stand there and we'll prevent them to do so. We'll take weapons, we'll kill them. I'll take out the Eden of Mitzrayim, midday. And if someone can stand there and prevent the Eden go out of Mitzrayim, he should come and do so. Afkan b'misusa shemoyish nema be'etzem hayoyim hazeh. If you show Yisrael oimrim mekach vekach im unim magishim boi ein unim anichem oisoi udam shaytzirunim emitzoyim v'kur alunis hayom v'hoirit es amon v'higiz lonis haslov v'hele lonis habeir v'nus alunis hatoiru ein unim anichem oisoi umar kudosh baruch hu harein machnisoi b'chatzayim. So Rashi says very clearly, the time Dina went out of Mitzrayim was chatzi hayoyim ve'etzem hayoyim hazeh. Midday, this was the time when the Eden went out of Mitzrayim. In the Tosefta, we see similar indication where there's machlokes in Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. When can one recite Hallel on Leila Seder? Beis Shammai says you can't say Hallel before the time the Eden went out of Mitzrayim. You can't mention Hallel and say Kodesh Baruch Hu before the time when the Eden actually went out of Mitzrayim. Therefore, he says you have to wait till Chatzois Lailo, till midnight. And only then can you recite Hallel. And the explanation of Beis Shammai is, of course, the Eden didn't go out of Mitzrayim, Chatzi Alaylo. But this was the time when the Eden received permission to go out of Mitzrayim, and this he calls just the beginning of the Geula, and therefore wait till Chatzois, and then you can say Hallel. So Beis Hillel answers to Beis Shammai, according to you, that you have to wait till the Geula. And when you say the words, B'tzeitz Yisrael b'Mitzrayim, how can you say that Chatzois? You have to wait till next day, after Misif, and then you say Hallel. Chatzois, midday, then you should say Hallel, not Chatzois Lailo. So we see from Tosefta again clearly the time the Eden went out of Mitzrayim was Chatzi Hayoim, midday. On the other hand, in the Gemur in Bruches, the one amongst you learned Daf Yoimi will probably remember, the Gemur brings in Daftes and Machloikis, till when can one eat Korban Pesach? Till Chatzois Lailo, midnight, or Alois HaShachar, till the morning. And the Gemara explains, Omar Rab Abba, Hakol Moidim, everyone agrees. Kishnigalu Yisrael Mitzrayim, Lo Nigalu Elo Bo'erev. The Geula, everyone agrees, was Bo'erev, and as Rashi explains, the Geula means the permission for Klal Yisrael to go out of Mitzrayim was Bachatzois, Kachatzois. After the Makas Bechoyre started, Paroi came with his crew and said to the Yidin, go out of Mitzrayim. Shenemar, Hoitziyachu Hashem Elokechu Mimitzrayim Loilu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took you out of Mitzrayim Loilu. It doesn't mean he really took the Yidin out of Mitzrayim, because this happened only a day. But he gave them permission to go out of Mitzrayim. Ukshiyotsu, everyone agrees, when did they actually go out of Mitzrayim? Lo Yotsu Elu Bayoim. As Rashi explains, in the morning, Balois HaShachar. Shenema Mimochoras HaPesach Yotsu Bnei Yisrael B'yad Rumu. Alma Nechleku, so what is the machloikus? Till when can he eat the Korban Pesach? Till Chatzois Lailo or till Alois HaShachar? Al Shas Chipuzoin. The Torah says you should eat the Korban Pesach B'chipuzoin, which refers to the haste, the Shas Chipuzoin, when the Eden went out of Mitzrayim. And the machloikus is, which Chipuzoin are we referring to? Al Shas Chipuzoin, Chipuzoin. Ablezim Nazar Yisuvar, my Chipuzoin, Chipuzoin de Mitzrayim. It means the time where the Mitzrim came to Klal Yisrael and said, now you can go out of Mitzrayim, you should go out of Mitzrayim, which happened midnight, straight after Makas Bechoyres. Rabbi Akiva Suvar, my chipuzoin, chipuzoin de Yisrael. The time when the Yidden actually went out of Mitzrayim, Rashi says, loy shomu lehem lutzeis ad boike. So from this Gemur, it seems that the Yidden went out of Mitzrayim, alois ha-shachar, in the morning. How does this fit together? It seems to be a clear contradiction of the time when the Eden went out of Mitzrayim. Was it be'etzem ha'yom hazeh, or was it straight in the morning? Ad boiker till alois hashachar. Sorry? Yeah, it seems to be from the psukim, the push-up shot in the psukim seems to be that they got up in the morning, they started baking their matzahs or their bread, and they couldn't even finish the 80 minutes till vaygoshu, till they were driven out of Mitzrayim. That's the first question. A second question, not when did they go out of Mitzrayim, but how did they go out of Mitzrayim? From the first Rashi, it seems that they went voluntarily. The Mitzrayim stood there, no one forced them voluntarily, without being forced to do so. Sorry, how do you say? No one forced them to go out of Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim stood there with their hands lifted in the air and said, we can't do anything, go out of Mitzrayim. On the other hand, when we read the psukim in this week's parsha, it seems to have a very different understanding. Let's just read some of them. Vahi b'chatzi alaylu v'ashem hiku kol b'choyr be'etz Mitzrayim b'choyr paru yoyishev al kisoy ad b'choyr ha'shvi asher b'veis ha'boyr v'chol b'choyr behem. Vayukom paru, in the middle of the night, paru gets up, lailu, hu v'chol avuda v'chol Mitzrayim, batitzu uku gedoylu b'mitzrayim. Vayikru l'moyshe l'haroin, you should go out of Mitzrayim. Vatechezak Mitzrayim alu om, l'maher l'shalchom min uretz ki omru kulonu meisim, vayiso om es b'tzeikoi terem yechmotz. And Rashi explains, terem yechmotz means, Hamitzrim lo yinichum lishoyz kidei chimutz. They didn't even have 80 minutes to stay there. And the pusuk says later, Vayoyfu es habutzek asher hoytziu memitzrayim ugois matzes ki loy chumetz ki gorshu memitzrayim. They were forced to go out of Mitzrayim. They were driven out of Mitzrayim. It wasn't at all be'etzem hayoyim hazeh. So the first question is about the timing. When did it happen? Chatzois yoyim or alois hashachar? And the second question is, how did it happen? Was it vaygoshu, or did they go out when they decided to do so? Let's put the two questions aside, and let's concentrate on the third question. Were the Yidden in Mitzrayim allowed to eat chumetz? We know Pesach by us starts already months in advance, weeks in advance, when we clean the house. Erev Pesach, bir chumetz, we burn the chumetz, and then 7 days, in Chitzlo it's 8 days, we don't eat chumetz, we eat just matzah. What happened with the Yidden in Mitzrayim? Did they have a prohibition of eating chumetz? Or were they allowed to do so? So here again, we find a contradiction. On the one hand, why do we eat matzah Leila Seder? Like we all say, they la say the matzah zu shon euch dem shomo. Why do we eat matzah? As shom shloi hispik betzeikom shavusein lehachmitz. As shnigda le melech mal chaluch ma kodesh baruch hu geulam shenema. Vayoyfu es habutzek asher hoytziu mi mitzrayim ugois matzois ki loy chumetz ki gorshu mi mitzrayim v'lo yochlu lismameya v'gam tzeidu lo yusu lehem. Why do we eat matzah, Leila Seder? Because we wanted to bake bread. Before 80 minutes, before we could finish the bread, there was a knock on the door. And the mitzi said, get out of here, don't stay a minute longer. But if the mitzi wouldn't have come, what would have happened? We'd bake regular bread. And we would eat chumetz. And Rashi says very clearly, Rashi says in our parsha, just read the Rashi before, Terem yechmotz ha-mitzriyim lo yinichum lishois kidei chumetz. Because of the Mitzriyim, we couldn't wait till it became chumetz. And if not for the Mitzriyim, we would have waited. It seems to be very, very clear that there was no issa eating chumetz in Mitzrayim. So what was the issa? For next year, but not in Mitzrayim. On the other hand, we see clearly in Chazal, in the Gemurah, even the Psukim, that there was an issa of eating chumetz in Mitzrayim at least the first day. But if there was an issa of eating chumetz, we anyway wouldn't have baking bread. If the mitzvah would have come 20 minutes later, we'll also be matzahs. So why do we say the reason why we eat matzahs is because we didn't have time to bake chumetz? That's not the reason. The reason is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you can't eat chumetz. So Tzlach in Psukim gives a fascinating answer to the last question. He says, our calendar, the Jewish calendar, works very different than the secular calendar. Many, many details, but one of them is, if we start the day from night or from day. By us, every day starts with the night before. Friday night is not Friday night, it's late Shabbos, it's the beginning of Shabbos. Chuftes Teves started yesterday night. And today is the continuation of the night. First Lailu, then Yoim. In the secular calendar, it works the other way around. It's Sunday morning, Sunday night. Monday morning, Monday night. How did the Yidden count in Mitzrayim? First day and then night, or first night and then day? Koyde Matan Torah, how did the Yidden count the calendar Koyde Matan Torah? Says the Tzlach, before the Torah was given, they started with the day, like the whole world does. In the morning, you start the day, the Torah way in the morning, and then it ends with the evening. Right? So says the Tzlach, he brings Rashi, where Rashi says, why do we have eight chutim in our tzitzis? Why do you have eight strings in our tzitzis? Rashi says, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to wait 8 days before the Yidden said Shire. Tzias Mitzrayim was already 8 days before. The Yidden didn't say Shire yet. They waited till after Kiryas Yamsuf, and only then did they say Shire. To remind us of this fact, we have tzitzis with eight strings. So all the Mefarshim ask, we don't say, Shvi Shepesach is not 8 days after Tzias Mitzrayim, it's 7 days after Tzias Mitzrayim. Says the Tzlach, no, according to the way how we count, it's 7 days. But according to the way how Klal Yisrael counted in Mitzrayim, it's 8 days. Why? Let's make a cheshbon. Erev Pesach was Yidalet Nisan. By us, Leil HaSeide, Leil Makas Bechoiris, is already Tezvuv Nisan. By Klal Yisrael, it was still Yidalet Nisan. Because it came after the day, after Erev Pesach. And then, it's already considered called Yitzias Mitzrayim, like we saw in the Gemurah. Because even the Yitzias Mitzrayim was only a day, but it started already at night. And therefore the Torah says, Hoytziyachu Hashem loilu at night. And therefore Yitzias Mitzrayim was Yidalet Nisan, not Tezvuv Nisan. In our calendars, Yitzias Mitzrayim started at night, which was already Tezvuv Nisan. But the way how they counted, it was Yidalet Nisan. So Yidalet Nisan, the next morning is already day two. When was Kriyas Yamsuf? At night. But when did they say Shire? A day. So Kriyas Yamsuf was the 7th day after day 14. But the morning, the next day, was already the 8th day. And therefore, the Eden, the way how they counted the Mitzrayim, It was 8 days between the beginning of the Gula, which was Leil. According to us, it was Leil Tezvov. According to them, it was Leil Yidalet. And Kiyas Yamsev, which was, according to them, Yoim Chuf Aleph, which is 8 days between 14 and 21. If you count those days, you have 8 days. After Kul Satoy, when we had, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us, that's how we started counting. But before, they counted first day and then night. Now let's look at the psukim. How Tzlach explains them, and we'll see how everything makes perfectly sense. A parash we say every day. Vayoyimer Moshe Elu'am Zuchor Es Hayoyim Hazeh. Remember this day. Which day? When was Moshe talking to Klal Yisrael? Let's wait and see. Remember this day, Asher Yutzusem Mimitzrayim Yibeis Havudim. The day you went out of Mitzrayim, which was Tezvuv Nissen. Remember this day, Moshe Rabbeinu standing on Tezvuv Nissen and says to Klal Yisrael, remember this day. Ki b'choizik yot hoitzi Hashem Eschem Mizeh ve'lo ye'uchel chumetz. And today don't eat chumetz. Hayoyim atam yoitzim mechoyli shuv, if today you go out of Mitzrayim. והיו כביחו השם אל ארץ הקנני והחיתי והמוירי והחיבי היבוסי אשר נשבע עליו ויסייכו. When next year you'll be in ארץ ישראל. לוסס לך ארץ זו והסחול ודבש ועבדתו את הוידו הזויס. The same avoid you're doing now. This one he pointed to the avoid. Which avoid? Korm Pesach. בחוידש הזה. Don't forget Korm Pesach. Next year when you come to ארץ ישראל ועבדתו את הוידו הזויס you should continue sacrificing the Korban Pesach. Now, when was Moshe Rabbeinu talking to Klal Yisrael? He said, this day. This day, they didn't went out of Mitzrayim. This day, don't eat chumetz. And they were busy with the Korban Pesach. So they were busy with Korban Pesach on two occasions. Yudalit, Erev Pesach, they shechted the Korban Pesach. At night, Leila Seder, they ate the Korban Pesach. Now, was Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to them, Leila Seder, or Erev Pesach? Now, Torah says clearly, every Yid had to stay in his house at night. No one could come out. So there's no way for Moshe Rabbeinu to gather Klal Yisrael and speak to them at night. So this story definitely happened before Nacht, before on Yoyim Yidalet. How is Moshe Rabbeinu saying, Yoyim Yidalet, Hayoyim Atem Yoytzim? Today you're going out of Mitzrayim? Not today, tomorrow. Says the Tzlach, yeah, tomorrow, the way how we count the days. But the way how they counted the day, it was today. The day started Yidalet, and tonight is still continuation of today. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes at Yidalet, and says to Klal Yisrael, today, you go out of Mitzrayim. In a few hours, at midnight, maybe not physically, but this, the beginning of the Gula would start already tonight. Today, don't eat chumetz, which means today and tonight. And avoid azois, this Korban Pesach, you should continue doing so in Eretz Yisrael. If so, everything seems to make sense. Because the Isser of Achilas Chumetz was only one day. Which day? Yoim Yudalet. But Yoim Yudalet in Mitzrayim was different than Yoim Yudalet today. Yoim Yudalet in Mitzrayim started in the morning and finished it after Korban Pesach by Lois HaShachar in the morning. Klal Yisrael got up in the morning and they wanted to bake chumetz, because there's no prohibition anymore to eat chumetz. They started baking the bread, but after a few minutes there was a knock on the door, and the mitzvim were there to chase them out. Let's imagine what happened. A few weeks before Yitzias Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu comes and says to the Yidden, we are almost there. A few days, and we go out of Mitzrayim. Now what do you do when you hear such a message? The first thing you think of, what will you eat during the journey? What will you give the kids to eat when they say after a few minutes, we are hungry? They started baking bread. They prepared suitcases full of bread. Few days before Yetzias Mitzrayim. When everything was ready, well organized, the houses were full of suitcases with bread, says the Malbim. Moshe Rabbeinu came Erev Pesach and said to Klal Yisrael, I have good news for you. Today is Yoim Bir Chumetz. All the suitcases you have to burn. There's no chumetz coming along. And it was a big nisoin for Klal Yisrael. Should we go to the desert? Without any food? Will the Eden with the children like matzah? Maybe yes, maybe not. And they had to burn Tzeid Lederich. And had no time for baking new matzahs. Now they were busy with Korban Pesach. And then at night they were quite scared. And they were eating the Korban Pesach. So the Yidden had to show strength, had to show emine and bituchen, to trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zucharti lo chesed nuraich. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide us food. But in the morning, you have to do your shtadlis. They started baking bread, but after a few minutes, they had to stop. So we understand what happened till Yidalit, till Tezov in the morning. But we still question what happened afterwards. What happened in the morning? Did they go out? Or did they go out? Chatzi hayoim midday. Were they driven out? Or did they choose to go out? We seem to have one missing bit of information which the psukim, chazal, the gemura, doesn't seem to make sense. And the answer is another Rashi. Just before Kabbalas HaTorah, in Parshas Yisroi, the Torah says, Moshe Ulo El Elohim, Vayikro Elo Vashem Min Ahor, Leimoy, Koisoy Ma'al Beis Yaakov, Vesagri Bnei Yisroel. Atem Re'isem Asher Usisi LeMitzrayim, Vu'esu Eschem Al Kanfei Neshurim. I lifted you on the wings of the eagle, Vu'uvei Eschem Eloi. Says Rashi. The day the Eden arrived to Ramses. Ramses was the city that Klal Yisrael built as Pison Ves Ramses, one of the main cities in Mitzrayim. Everyone was scattered in the house in Eretz Goshen. There were two parts of Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim. The first part, when Klal Yisrael went from their homes to Ramses. And the second part, when they left Ramses to go to the Midbar. The first part was Ki Goshu. They were driven out after Lois HaShachar. There was quite some pressure from the Mitzrim. They couldn't even finish their bread. And then they had a private jet prepared for them. The wings of the eagle who brought them all, who gathered them, millions and millions of people, to Ramses. They arrived Ramses early in the morning, and now they had half a day free time, till Chatzois Yoim. And then, at Chatzois, Be'etzem HaYoim HaZeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them out of Mitzrayim. So we asked, was it Kigoyishu, or was it Be'etzem? Both. In the morning, Kigoyishu, at lunchtime, Be'etzem. When did they go out? Talois? Both. They went out of their homes in the morning, and they left Mitzrayim at Chatzos. So what did they do these hours in Ramses? The Medrash says, these hours, everyone was busy with something else. Moshe Rabbeinu was busy with the Atzmus Yosef and the other Shvutim. Some of Klal Yisrael were busy of chopping down the trees that Yaakov Avinu planted. They should have wood to build the Mishkan. But what did the majority of Klal Yisrael do? They were busy with finding more gold and silver. They greeted their new neighbors in Ramses, and they asked them for a donation. Everyone asked their new neighbors for just a few hours for the Kli Kesef and clay zuf. And then suddenly, Chatzos Yoim, when the Mitzrim were busy with their Bechorim, they had to bury their Bechorim, Klal Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim, and the Mitzrim who spoke that they would prevent Klal Yisrael to go out of Mitzrayim couldn't do anything. After having explained the Yoim Tzeis Umet Mitzrayim, we might wonder, everything seems to make sense. It seems to make sense, the preparation, the build-up of Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim. As the Malbim explained, they had to burn the Tzeid L'derech, they had to strengthen themselves with a minne, they heard the neighbors B'choyim were being killed, they ate the Korban Pesach. In the morning, Kigoshu, and the Maral explains why Kigoshu, why were they driven out of Mitzrayim? Because if they would go out of Mitzrayim, they might have thought, or others might have thought, it's an uprising. 600,000 men, families, they decided one day, let's go out and let's leave Mitzrayim. But if the same person who a day before was their master, beat it up, the Eden, and next day he's the one who says, now you go out, and if you don't go out, I'll chase you out, it's clearly Yad Hashem. And therefore, Kosh Baruch wanted it should be part of the Geula in the way of Kigosh. We understand Moshe Rabbeinu, the last hours in Mitzrayim, was busy with Atzmus Yosef. We understand the tree, which was the goal of Klal Yisrael going out of Mitzrayim, to build the Mishkan, was also done these few hours. But why Klei Kesef and Klei Zuf? Was this so important? Maybe yes. It seems to be so important that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu in the beginning, at the Sneh, that before the Yidden will go out of Mitzrayim, then they should borrow from their neighbors, Klei Kesef and Klei Zuf. It didn't seem to be a small detail. What the understanding? How should we understand and appreciate that this Vaish'alum was an integral part of Yitzias Mitzrayim? Again, the Gemara we learned quite recently in Daf Yomi. Dabenu be'ozne yo'am einu elolush makushe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu begged Klal Yisrael, Lushan Bakusha, please. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Bakush Mimcho, he asked Moshe Rabbeinu, Ve'emoy Lihem Yisrael Bakusha. You should beg and ask Klal Yisrael Bakusha. Bakusha Mikem Sho'alu Mitzrayim Klei Kesef Klei Zuf. It seems to be something which wasn't easy. Klal Yisrael had to be asked to do so. Why? What was the problem? Who doesn't like a bit of Klei Kesef and Klei Zuf? So try to give three perspectives. The first one is of the Tzlach. The Gemara seems to have difficulties with this no Lushan Bakusha. And the Gemara explains, first brings the part of Avraham Avinu, Shlo Yoyma Oysa Tzadik, Ve'ivdum Ve'inu Oysam Kiyem Bohem, Ve'avudum Ve'inu Oysam Kiyem Bohem, Amru loy, so they said, Ulevai Sheneitze Beatzmeinu. Mushle Udam Shoyechuvish Beis Asurim. Voy Oimrim loy Bnei Udam Meitzim Oisru Lemucha Mi Beis Asurim. Vnoisim Lechu Mumoin Harbe. Voy Oimer Elohem Bevakushem Mikem Hoitziunu Ayoim Vein Mevakesh Klum. The Gemara seems to have difficulties and therefore brings a mushul. Whenever the Gemara brings a mushul, it seems to be something is unclear and the mushul will explain what happened. The mushul, the Gemara says, a prisoner. Not a prisoner in England in 2020, but a prisoner the way the Gemara understood the prisoner in Bovel, and I don't know how much changed since then and today in Bovel. And a prisoner is given two options. First option, you can go out of the prison now, but without any check, without any money. Second option, you have to stay another day, another 24 hours, but tomorrow you can go out with lots of money. What would he choose? Of course he'll choose the first option. Just let me get out of here. The same thing, Klal Yisrael, they were slaves, prisoners. And when they heard an option of going out of Mitzrayim, they definitely preferred going out of Mitzrayim without any money than to go out of Mitzrayim with money. However, this mushul, this parable doesn't seem to make sense. Because Klal Yisrael weren't given two options. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have come to Klal Yisrael and said, you have two options. Either you go out of Mitzrayim today without any money, or tomorrow with money. Then it's exactly the same case. But the question was, do you want to go out today with money or today without money? Of course today with money. If the prisoner is given two options, do you want to go out of the prison without any money, or do you want to go out of the prison with money? What would he choose? With money. So what's the mushul? Says the Tzlach, a brilliant explanation. Klal Yisrael had two options. Either to go out of Mitzrayim with Klei Kesef or without Klei Kesef. What's the easier option? On the one hand, the easiest option is to go out with Klei Kesef or Klei Zuf. Definitely it's easier to start a new life when they have Klei Kesef and Klei Zuf. On the other hand, if they come to their neighbors and they say, can we borrow some gold and silver? And they carry loads, bags full of silver and gold. In the back of their mind, they always are scared maybe the master will chase after me. Maybe he'll come back. Maybe he'll want his gold and silver back. The fear of going back to slavery was so great. They prefer to say, I don't want any money. It's much easier to forget the Mitzrayim. They should stay with the money and should leave us alone. Or on the other hand, taking the money and then having the fear of knowing, perhaps one day the Mitzrayim will be back, which really happened. The Mitzrayim ran after Klal Yisrael. So there the Yidden definitely preferred and chose the first option of going out without any money. And Kosh Baruch Hu said, I want you to strengthen your Eminim. I want you to strengthen your Bituchim. Not only the moment of Yetzias Mitzrayim, every step you do in the Midbar, when you are scared of the Mitzri, strengthen your Eminim and believe, because this was the essence of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that I am the one who took you out of Mitzrayim, and if I want the Mitzrayim to run after you, it will happen, but if I don't want them to do so, nothing would happen. And therefore we understand and appreciate why this was so important. Every knock on the door, every time they asked another cup of silver, it was again a struggle, a nisoyen, filling themselves with fear or filling themselves with bituchen. Being scared that this cup of silver will mean that they'll end up again being a slave in Mitzrayim, or this would strengthen their minne of knowing Kodesh Baruch Hu is looking after them. A second explanation is of the Beis Yisroel, where he says, Vaish'alum Lushan She'ele means borrowing. Why was it important to borrow the money? Why couldn't they just ask for a present or ask for a loan after working so many years so hard? Says the Beis Yisroel, Klal Yisroel prepared for a new start. A start where they are not slaves giving some matzah to eat, rather they are self-employed. And of course, im ein kemach, ein teure, a person in order to survive needs to gather some kind of klei kesef and klei zuf. But here Kodesh Baruch Hu gives them a lesson, how should you approach money? Should you approach money as a new start and perhaps chas v'shulim, a quick end, or as a new start with lots of opportunities? Will the money bring you to chas v'shulim forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to trust in the money instead of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Or will money always be a vehicle, will be a tool for you to serve Hashem? How do you do that? Vayish'alum. If you know you only borrowed the money, it's not yours. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you the money, but it's all borrowed. Like a person who rents a car has a totally different feeling when he buys and owns a car. It's only rented. By filling themselves with this feeling that it's all Vayish'alum, this was the perfect preparation of going out of Mitzrayim for Kabbalas HaTorah. And therefore the last few hours were needed in order to fill themselves with this emine, with this belief that whatever they have is Vayish'alum, is borrowed and not received. And a third explanation, a third understanding and perspective of the Michtav Soife, Reb Shimon Soife, the Reuven Kruke, the son of the Chasam Soife, and he gives a very original explanation. He questions the beginning of the Gemara, so many others did, Shlo Yoimar Oiso Tzadik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was worried, please, gather some money, Klei Kesef and Klei Zuhav, because Avraham Avinu shouldn't complain. Avraham Avinu shouldn't say, where's the Rechish Gudel you promised? And if not for Avraham Avinu, wouldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfill his promise? Says the Michtav Soifer, a brilliant explanation. He says, how do you find Rechush Gudel? What's a true Rechush Gudel? 1,000 pounds? 10,000 pounds? 100,000 pounds? 1,000,000 pounds? What's Rechish Gudel? Says the Michtav Soifer, Chazal say, Yesh lo imune, roitzi musayim. You give them 100, they want 200. You give them 400, they want 800. You give them silver, they want gold. You give them gold, they want diamonds. It never stops. What's the Rechish Gudel? Mar ben chusim, mar ben dage. This is a Rechish Gudel. So Kodesh Baruch Hu could say, yeah, this is a Rechish Gudel. I give them Bizas Hayam, and that's a Rechish Gudel. But Avraham Avinu wouldn't be happy with such a Rechish Gudel. How will this nation serve you when they're always busy of wanting more? Never happy with what they have. concentrating on what they don't have rather on what they have. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll give them a big present. It's called Midas Haistavkus. To be happy with what you have. This is the Tuchesh Gudel. And therefore, before the Yidnul Gata Mitzrayim, I'll give them a middle called Midas Haistavkus, where they'll feel they don't need more. They're happy with what they have. How will Hashem prove that to Avraham Avinu? He says, look at Klal Yisrael. I'll tell them, now's an opportunity to get free gold and silver. You expect them to go and run? You'll see, they won't be interested. They say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have our matzahs. We don't need more than that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, please go. Okay, if you really want me to go, if it's a mitzvah to go, I'll go. But for myself, I'm very happy without that. Being forced to go. The Lushan Bakusha Denu showed to Avraham Avinu that they don't really need the money. They're happy without it. And this is the true Cheshgudah. This is what satisfy Avraham Avinu, knowing that his children are happy with what they have. Instead of concentrating on what they don't, and then they will never be happy. When they start a new life as free people, where they start with earning money. Because without earning money, a person can't survive. They start building their own homes. Everyone will be different. Everyone will have a different home. Not like being slaves in a time where everyone's the same. Everyone will be different. And then you have two choices. Either to concentrate on what I don't have. Either be busy with wanting more and never be happy. Or you'll say, thank you, Hashem, for what you gave to me. It's more than I needed. It's more than I expected. I'm so happy with that. Einu ela lushan bakusha. Shlo yoyimar oise tzadik. That Avraham Avinu shouldn't complain. This is a chishgudel. And therefore, this was an integral part. This was perhaps one of the most important moments before it is time. So we asked, why is the Klei Kesef, Klei Zuhof, so important? Why was it done the last few hours before Yetzias Mitzrayim? Again, once in Eretz Goshen, and second time with the new neighbors in Eretz Ramses. And we gave three explanations. Either, as the Tzlach says, to strengthen the Emine, to know even though this might cause the Mitzrayim run after me, but still I trust Hashem. Or like the Beis Yisrael said, to understand and appreciate that Klei Kesef, Klei Zuhof is only borrowed. Or the third explanation of the Michtav Sofer, to know that the real Klei Kesef, Klei Zuhof is being happy with what you have. Shkoyach.